Ron, really appreciate what you did. I was concerned that not everybody would be aware and that they would dismiss the situation. Some have said that he died for our Second Amendment rights, and therefore we should take those rights away. The reality is he died for our First Amendment rights. As a fellow Arizonan, he and his family, we were especially impacted by this. It's quite a blow. But his ministry will continue. And I do call it a ministry because it was faith first. It was all about going to colleges and getting young people to realize that faith and family are most important. That's what he stood for. That's what he debated. And that's what was taken away from him. So the topic today is believing or believe. And the purpose for that, because I know that all of us here are believers, but not everyone that we come in contact is. And why is that? Why is it that some believe and some don't? Why is it that we have this word of God that talks about how important faith is, and yet not everybody sees it, not everybody is aware? And so as we think of those who believed in the time of Christ and the years thereafter as the Gospels were written and Paul's writings came about some 30, 40 years thereafter, you know, who believed and who did not, and why not? And can we then take why they didn't believe and make it so that we can help others believe? And so if you want the notes to this to be able to use with someone else, I'm glad to share them with you. Give me your email and I'll send them out. So as we think about this, the word believe, it is the Greek word pisteo, and don't jump on me for the poor pronunciation. Mike's our resident Greek scholar, I know that he even says that sometimes these words are hard to pronounce, but it's spelled P-I-S-T-E-U-O, and it's used 100 times in the New Testament book of John alone, which is pretty amazing to me, and why, in her amazing wisdom, my mother-in-law, when I first met her and first was questioning about faith and the Bible and what I believed, she told me to read the book of John to start, and I did. And the next day after I read it, I called her and said, okay, now what? She said, read Ephesians and compare them, and I did. And I called her, and she said, did you see the difference? And I was like, yeah. So it meant I needed to study a heck of a lot more than just reading. But the word in the Greek means to fully trust or fully give yourself to step into who Jesus Christ was with our entire heart, our whole heart. Yeah. What might be the most compelling reason for us to believe is to hear from someone who did not believe. Someone that in scripture we are told said, I will not believe. And so to help someone else who does not believe, maybe we need to share what this individual said and others like him. In John 20:25, it says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, they were speaking to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is Thomas. And it is why they call him Doubting Thomas. Because he wasn't at the house when Christ actually, after his resurrection, showed up. And he met with all the other disciples. Thomas doubted the report that Christ was resurrected. And as I said, that's why they call him Doubting Thomas. And there are many who saw the miracles, disciples themselves, and yet refused to believe. I wonder if we were there, if I were there, and I saw these miracles being done, what would I say? What would I believe? I would hope, as someone who has not seen those miracles, but has seen miracles in my life happen, that yes, I definitely would. But to not believe, in the Greek word is OU. Interesting. I'm not sure how to exactly pronounce that. But it's an absolute negative. It means no or not or nay or never or none or nothing, to be without. But translated most often as not, as in not believe. In Matthew verse 9:28, it says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this," meaning give them their sight back. Sorry. "They said unto him, Yea, Lord." Now think about this. They were blind, but they still believed. They could not even see his face, but they believed. Like us, who have never seen his face, we believe. These men who were blind believed and thought, in spite of the fact that they had never seen the miracles, because they were blind. In Mark 9:23, it says, "Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Wow. His son is dying. His only hope is in Christ. He admitted he needed Christ's help. He needed help believing that Christ could do what he said he could do. And Christ did. How often I need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. When I need healing, my wife needs healing, when we can't see the Lord really working in the background, we need help believing. In Luke 8:49, it says, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And in fact, in that very hour, she was." In John 1:7, it says, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." This is speaking of John the Baptist. And in 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's all it takes to receive that power to become the sons of God. It's just to believe on his name. Believe that he was, that he is, that he will be, that he died for us, was resurrected, and we have that same power that he does. John 3:15 through 18, and we've heard this over and over, but it It's always worth repeating because it's so important. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Let me repeat that. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They are self-condemned because they don't believe. You know, we say, oh, how would a God that is loving not resurrect everyone? Give them that chance. Well, you got to believe for that. And if you don't believe in him, you're not going to be resurrected. You're not going to stand before the judgment seat because you've judged yourself already. And that is, I think, one of the most important verses in the Bible in talking to somebody that's an unbeliever, is to let them know that you have a choice right here and right now. Either you believe or you don't. If you don't believe, you've condemned yourself. Is that what you want? God's not going to condemn you. You've condemned yourself. In John 20, verse 25 and 26 through 28. It says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them," I'm sorry, "except I see in his hands the print of his nails, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." I will not believe, Thomas said. And he had seen miracle after miracle, but he said, I will not believe about the resurrection. Verse 26, "And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." But, you know, how did he know Thomas had said that? Because he hears everything. In verse 28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That is so, so amazing. None of us that are listening to my voice right now, bad as it is, I'm sorry, we weren't there to see or feel his side, his handprints, his nail prints. But we have four gospel writers that were there, that did see. And these 11 believed. We have Paul's writings, who met with him on the Damascus Road. He believed, even though he was an unbeliever, even though he persecuted them. And so John, having 100 references to believing, why was that gospel written? Well, so that we would believe. In fact, that's what he says. John 20, verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." I mean, right? We could end the study right here. That is the conclusion. "That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life through his name." going back in John 6, verse 30, it says, they said therefore unto him, what sign? These are the Pharisees. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What work dost thou do? And we read then the balance of that context. We get to verse 36. It said, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. He did all these miracles in front of them. They wanted to see something grand. He fed 5,000. And you know what they said to him? Yeah, big deal. Moses fed millions in the wilderness. And you only fed 5,000. Well, when else had that ever happened? Never. Never. In John 6:64, it says, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. The context here is that some had left them. And he's asking his disciples, will ye also go away? Because you don't believe? And in verse 69 of John 6, it says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. How much more proof do we need? Eyewitnesses. In this case, four who wrote Gospels. John, who was there through it all, who references the word believe 100 times. He says, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. What more do we need? If there was a trial and there were that many witnesses, he would be convicted of being the Christ. In John 7:5, these are his brothers who confront him. And they're telling him, you need to reveal yourself. You need to come to Judea and reveal yourself. Don't be in hiding here. And the reason they did that, John 7:5 says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. His brothers, half-brothers at that, okay, since his father was the Holy Spirit. But his brothers did not believe at this point in time that John is writing about. And in 7:39 says, but this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Yeah. And so those who believe will have that Holy Spirit available. In John 8:24, it says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. How much more graphic do you need? How much more blunt do you need? I remember when I read that, and I thought, well, what sins is he talking about? And what have I done that's so sinful that I should die? Well, it doesn't matter how big your sins are. The littlest white lie that we tell is sin. We were born in sin. We have a sin nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I deserve death. And coming to that realization and that, wait, all I have to do is believe. I'm sorry. I'll reiterate what Ron said, that something about getting on a plane. Because when you get off, you know, you're going to get exposed to something. And we do. And people today have no social etiquette. They don't know how to cover. In fact, they shouldn't have been on the plane if they were that sick. John 8, verse 45 and 46. He says, "And because I tell you the truth," this is Christ speaking, "ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" So the Pharisees were accusing him. And he said, "You're upset with me because I tell you the truth. And that's why Charlie Kirk died, because he told the truth." And those who believed the lie took him out, just like they took Christ out. I'm not comparing him to Christ at all. Don't even go there. I'm just saying that when you tell the truth, people hate you because they don't want to hear the truth. John 11, verses 23 through 26, Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." So he's talking to, I believe, Martha and Mary. I think it's Martha. It's Martha. In verse 24, Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Verse 27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She was standing right there with Christ, face to face, and could profess her faith in him. It gets even better, though. 11:40, John 11:40 says, Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou believest, if thou wast believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." We're talking about Christ standing before the tomb of Lazarus with Martha and Mary right there, his disciples right there. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He was giving credit to God, not taking credit for himself. And in verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." So he floated out of there because his hands and feet were tied. And he had a shroud and a napkin over his face, etc. And they had to remove it for him because he couldn't remove it himself. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. They saw the things that Jesus did and believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Can you just hear their voice? "You were from the dead. What are you going to do?" Verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Okay, they saw the miracles and yet didn't believe. They saw and didn't believe. The blind men couldn't see, but they believed. Verse 48 says, "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." You see, they were blinded by their own desire for power, which they would lose if, in fact, Jesus was the Christ. Therefore, they lied about it, and they plotted then to kill him. In John 12:37, it says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." And I'm going to read all the way through verse 46. that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed. So there were some who saw those miracles and did believe. Not all of them lined up behind the chief priest. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They were afraid they would lose their power. And in verse 43, it says, why? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Wow. I think this probably is the greatest example of being a narcissist, that they were more important than the Son of God, lining up behind him and confessing him. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. In other words, should not be blind any longer because of this light. That's what Paul saw on the Damascus Road. He saw this brilliant, brilliant light, and he knew at that point that that was Christ, who he had been persecuting, those who believed on him. John 16, verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Now he's talking to his disciples. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Even at the end of his ministry, before he was betrayed, captured, tortured, and crucified, he was still asking the disciples, do you believe? Given all that you've seen, do you believe? Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh. I'm sorry, I just read that. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He knew that they were going to see him hanging on the cross. And then some of them might not believe. They say, well, why couldn't he save himself? He saved sinners. Why couldn't he save himself? And that's what the Jews that were there said, hey, come down from the cross. I mean, they taunted him. Save yourself. Show us. And so he told his disciples, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to be exercised. You're going to be persecuted. You are going to suffer, and you're going to have to endure. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That is such an important statement for us who believe, to know, especially those of us, and I say that collectively as a group, because I know that we all have a target on our back, that the evil in this world is going to seek us out because we believe. In Acts verse 8:37, Philip said, if thou believest with thine heart, he's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, in other words, be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is an individual who read about him in a passage from Scripture and yet believed. Hadn't seen him that we know of, but he believed. Romans 6:8. Now if ye be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And what does that mean to be dead with Christ? It means the life that we once lived is over. Now that we believe, we are a new creation in Christ. And that we therefore live with him, through him, in him. Capstone probably to this study, well, not my final note, is in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe. Believe in thine heart. Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is what Charlie Kirk did. He went on campuses where the truth was not being told. And he professed his faith in Christ. He professed that he believed. And that others might believe as well. Because he was convinced that on college campuses today, across the entire country and maybe around the world, that the truth wasn't being told about Christ. And that they needed to hear it. And that he needed to be the spokesperson. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have evil in this world that is blinding people. And we know that the media, and as an example, in Russia, propaganda is what toppled the dynasty that was there, the Tsar, and communism started. And they not only persecuted, but murdered 2 million people so that the truth would be suppressed. And we believe that the media is what evil uses. Now, it can be used for good, but it can be used for evil as well. And the demonic powers in this world are strong. And they're going to suppress everything they can and everyone they can to keep the truth from being told, because then people would believe and they would lose their power. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I think that's our mission right there. That's the mission of TFT. It's to speak because we believe and to speak of what we believe with proof in Scripture. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The faith of Jesus Christ, that is believing on him. Trusting him so thoroughly that we are one with him. Oh, what did Paul write about this? And I realize that I just referenced Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. But in his prison epistles, what did he write? In Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? We have this dunamis power because we believe. We have access to it. Are we using it? Are we using it to get this word out, to get this truth out? Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake. Oh, wow. Put the brakes on. Wait, if I believe I'm going to suffer? We may not be persecuted like the disciples, like Paul. We're not in countries where they are taking Christians out and beheading them, putting them in mass graves. But I'll tell you what, it could happen. And if we don't stand up for the truth, it's going to happen. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, so the pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Sorry. Again, we're told if we believe, we're going to suffer. Long suffering, forbearance, perseverance, adversity, trials, tribulations. It's going to happen to all of us. And you know, I think that for some, they suffer in silence. It's important for us to let each other know how we're suffering so that they can be prayed for. And that prayer can help them, strengthen them. As fellow Christians, as believers in Christ and the power that is there, we have to hold each other up, especially when we are down. And whether that be because of sickness or because of circumstances, because of financial, because of relationships, because of family, we have to hold each other up because we believe. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Or specifically those that believe. Because it's only those that believe that Satan's worried about, that demonic powers worry about, that evil worries about. Those who don't believe, they can just skate along. And we're not to look at that and say, oh, darn, that's not fair. Well, when you sign up to believe, you know what's coming. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Even when we have self-doubt, he is there believing. He is there faithfully by our side. He will never leave nor forsake us in his mercy. His mercy is forever. Last two verses, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, we're going to have suffering, but yes, there are rewards. To participate in the Olympics or the Corinthian games that Paul was writing about, there was a prize if they won. There was pain and suffering to practice, to prepare, and that's what we're going through, but there was a prize. And while John previously wrote this, in 1 John 5:13, it says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye believe on the name of the Son of God. So let me repeat in conclusion, Romans 10:9. We have to believe that he was raised, and then we shall be saved. Even though we have not seen him, yet we believe. We need to help others see through the scriptures so that they will believe like we do. like fairly Kirk tried to do on college campuses across the country. We need to rise up and be the voice of Christ, of Paul, of the disciples, of those who wrote the Gospels, to be able to help others believe on the name of the Son of God. I apologize for my voice. Hopefully I'll get over this crud soon, and that none of you get it. I don't think you can get a virus through the computer. That was a play on words, sorry. Not a very good joke stir today. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have your word. We're so thankful that we can see through the eyes of those who were face to face with Christ when he was here on the earth. And that seeing we believe. And that we might profess him to others that they might believe as well. Thank you, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.